You don't get the option today. Go be blessed. God bless the workers and the helpers. Amen. Oh, Lord, help them. You know, we should do a training for the children's workers about personalities, the Personality Plus book, so they help them understand some of these children. How many know that when you have to deal with a child whose personality is different than yours, it's a little difficult?
Challenging.
It's challenging, yeah. Yeah, even the same personality. Yeah, maybe I should just teach the church in general about personalities and how that affects us. But you know, even in light of that, this morning's message kind of speaks to that a little bit. We're going to look at 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 12 through 16. It says this in the New King James. It says, "Let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in word and conduct, in love and spirit and faith and purity. Till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy with the laying on of hands of the eldership. Meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them, that your progress may be evident to all. Take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this you will save both yourself and those who hear you." Father, I thank you for your word. And again, I thank you for your presence in this place. And Holy Spirit, I pray that even as we were worshiping, your presence was powerful, touching our hearts. And I pray also that as we go through the word, that you would do the same. That we would sense that you're moving and you're stirring in our hearts. Draw us closer to you. Bless each one here today in Jesus' name. Amen. At the beginning of this portion of Scripture, in my Bible, it says, "Take heed to your ministry." Everybody say this: I have a ministry. You know, this is something that's been on my heart lately. The idea of the body of Christ, the church people. You know what? You are not here just to attend. You are here to learn. You are here to be built up. Of course, you're here to get saved, but you are here to get to the place where you are ministering with the gift that God has given you to minister with. Everybody say, "I have a gift." That gift was given to you in order that you could minister to other people. Now, there may be some here thinking, "I don't have a gift. I don't know how to minister." Well, if that's what you're thinking, then understand we've got some growing to do. Because God gives gifts to everyone. And at the very beginning of this, he says, "Let no one despise your youth, but be an example." Let me show you this. Take heed to your ministry. It says in verse 12, "Let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers." Now, the first thing I highlighted here, be an example to the believers. Many of your translations, they say different things. Some say be an example to the believers. Some say be an example of the believers. And you know what? I think both words fit. I think there's a reason why the translators had a difficult time deciphering whether that word should be to or of, because both words fit. An example to believers is to show believers how believers should live. And so part of your ministry that we should all take heed to is helping, living our lives in such a way to show other believers that, hey, you know what? This is how God wants us to live. I think that's important. How many struggle with a believer, somebody you know that believes in Jesus Christ, and you struggle with the idea that, you know what, some of the stuff they do just isn't godly. What is up with that? In this portion of Scripture, Paul is saying to Timothy, you know what, don't worry about what everybody else is doing. Worry about what you're doing. Take heed to your ministry. Don't worry about if other believers aren't living exactly the way you think they should live. Make sure you're living the way that you should live. Be an example to other believers. That's part of your ministry. Part of your ministry is watching over yourself, lest you should fall. Part of your ministry is being a light, not only to the lost, but to other believers. And that's why I believe the word there too fits. Be an example to believers. And so we can look around the room and we can, you know, not look at people and say, oh, how are they living? But we can look at people and say, how can I show them in my life, in my example, how we as believers should live? And the other word, of believers, be an example of believers. An example of the believers is to show the lost how believers should live. You are of the believers. And we should live our lives in such a way that it shines a light out there and shows the lost, hey, that's what believers do. That's how believers live. But the most important thing is this, that we should be an example. Our lives should be an example. That's part of our ministry, part of your ministry, part of my ministry is to be an example of what? Of Jesus Christ. And you know what an example of Jesus Christ looks like? You know, the first thing that we would think perhaps is an example of Jesus Christ looks like, oh, we do everything perfect. We don't sin at all, this and that. But you know what? I think the greatest example of Jesus Christ is love. How we love people. And I'm going to talk about that a little bit in a minute also. But take heed to your ministry. Understand. You have a personal ministry to those that are around you. Be a good example of that. Now, in verse 12 there, he says to be a good example. First he says, be an example in word. Guess what? What you say matters. Be an example in word. Say the things that Jesus says. Talk the talk that Jesus talks. Make sure that the words that come out of your mouth are an example of love, an example of Christ. What you say matters. And you know, a lot of times, it's not only what you say, but how you say it. I like to be sarcastic a lot of times. I don't know if that's a flaw or if that's a good thing. I don't know. It's probably a flaw. My wife's saying, yeah, that's not good. I don't know. That's just kind of how I, but you know what? And so, being that I can be sarcastic at times, I have to be careful how I say things to people because I want them to receive what I have to say in a good light. But if I'm being sarcastic when I say something, guess what? I've turned off ears and I've turned off hearts and people are not going to receive. And so I have to be a good example in word. What I say, how I say it, sometimes when I say it, it all matters. Be an example. When we're out in the workplace, part of your ministry, part of our ministry, is to be an example of what we say. How many know that every now and again, somebody will rub us the wrong way, and boy, some words will come, right? Oh, there'll be words. But if we are going to take heed to our ministry, we need to take heed to our ministry in word. We have to be careful what we say. Be an example in conduct, it says there in that verse. What you do matters. Got bit by something. What you do matters. You know, again, don't worry about what the other believer is doing. Worry about what you're doing. Take heed to your ministry. Part of your ministry to those around you is that you do the things that Jesus did. You act the way that Jesus acted. Your words and your deeds matter. Why? Because people are watching. The lost are watching. If you want to be an example of a believer, you have to be careful what you say, be careful what you do. So be an example in word, be an example in conduct, be an example, as I already mentioned, in love. This is all from verse 12. Be an example in love, which means your relationship with others matters. It matters how you love. What's the Bible tell us? There's two things we need to do. Love God, love our neighbors. Right? It really does matter. And so our ministry, remember, take heed to your ministry. Be an example of love. How did Jesus love the sinners? He drew them to himself and he forgave them. Isn't that wonderful? Thank you, Jesus. His love for us forgives us of our sin, overlooks all of our faults, and says, come to me. I will give you rest. That's what he said. And so, okay, how do we be an example of love to others that, you know what, be an example of love to others that matters not only for you, but matters for them. And it's hard because people, I've said this before, God will put somebody in your path that is difficult to love. He's every one of us. Where was I? At the fatherhood class the other day. I shared the same thing there as I share here. And it's having an impact. Apparently I've got a fan club over at the probation office I didn't even know about. But I said to these guys, I said, think about this, guys. Each and every one of you have somebody in your life that's hard to love. And they're all like, yeah, that's true. Well, guess what? We as believers need to be an example of love, because you know why? The lost do not know how to love. Be an example in spirit, which means our relationship with God matters. As believers, how can we be an example in spirit? Walk in the spirit that the lust of the flesh will not be fulfilled, right? Pray to God, talk to God, walk with God. Be an example. As you're ministering to those around you, let them know. Let them see you pray. You know, let them hear you lift up his name in praise. Be an example. Football season's coming. My wife's like, really? Haven't even done with basketball yet. But you know what? I know people that have a greater passion for football than basketball. If you're a basketball fan, God bless you. The only thing a little less than a basketball fan, in my opinion, is a hockey fan. I'm sorry. I'm just just not a hockey guy. I don't know. I know fewer hockey guys than I know of basketball guys. And I know fewer basketball guys than baseball guys, and fewer baseball guys than football guys. Football's coming. Those of you who love football, can't wait for that season to start. You're going to start talking about your team. You know who they drafted. You can't wait till the new quarterback or the new running back or the new line guy, whatever the case. You're going to be talking about all that stuff. You're going to be an example of somebody who loves that football team. Well, we as believers need to be an example of somebody who loves God. Talking about Jesus, talking about the Holy Spirit, talking about love and life and eternal life. And all those things that show that an example that, you know what? I'm a lover of God. Be an example in faith, it says. What you believe and follow matters. And you know what? What you believe is the thing. Think about what you do on a daily basis, because the thing you do on a daily basis, that's what you believe in. We may say at times, oh yeah, we believe in Jesus. But if somebody were to follow us around all day long, is there any evidence all day long that would prove to them that we are an example, that we believe in Jesus? How can we be an example of our faith? Again, let them see you pray. Anybody ever just pull somebody, getting a little, the Spirit moves on you, and you just kind of, you're at Walmart, and right there in the middle of the aisle, you just start praying for people. Oh, that's right. I forgot that. I had another example in mind, but God gave us an opportunity the other day. We're at the auto parts store, and we come across somebody. God opens up a door, and we pray right there in the parking lot. Be an example of your faith. Do you believe prayer works? When somebody says, you know, I'm not feeling well today, you say, hey, can I pray for you? Be an example of your faith. People are down and out. You come in up and alive. Why are we up and alive? Is it because our circumstances are better than anybody else? No, we're up and alive because we believe in Jesus Christ. And we believe that when tough times come, it's for our benefit and not for our destruction. Anybody going through tough times? Understand that tough time is for your benefit. All things work together for good to those who love the Lord, right? According to whose purpose? His purpose. Well, it doesn't serve my purpose that I have a bad back, but somehow it serves his. And I'm going to trust him with that. And I'm going to praise him with that. You know what I did the other day? I put my hands on my back. I said, God, I need a new back. Louis is a great example of that. Don't look back there. He's asleep, I think. You know, that man works hard. And I'm not picking on him just because he works hard. I'll tell you what, if I did half the stuff he did, I'd probably still be in bed this morning. But he is an example. He's an example of faith. Puts his hands on his eyes and prays for his eyes. If he's got a pain in his body, puts his hand on the part of his body that hurts and prays and trusts God. And you know what? That man is very healthy. That's why he does so much of what he does. And so I got inspired the other day. I said, you know what, God, I need a new back. You know, my wife and I, we watched, I don't know, there's a bunch of documentaries out there on Netflix by this Darren Wilson guy. They're very good. I encourage you to read them. I'll warn you ahead of time, he's a little out of the box. But he prays for people on the street. He walks around and just listening to the Holy Spirit to point out certain ones. You know, you can walk through a crowd, and how many of you have ever had this experience? You're walking through a crowd, maybe at your store, maybe you're somewhere, and God just highlights somebody. Take advantage of that and go bless that person. You know, don't get all over religious and spiritual over that person. You can just walk up and love them. Say, hey, you know what? I just sense maybe you have something that I could pray for you today. Is there something I could pray for you today? I've never had an opportunity where I said, hey, can I pray for you? That somebody said, no, I don't want that. I've never had that experience. Because when the Spirit of God leads you to somebody, chances are they need what you have. And God knows that. That's why he sent you to that somebody. That's why if you're in the store or in the workplace and you see, and all of a sudden God highlights somebody, hey, this one over here. Act on that. Be an example of your faith. I got to move on. Be an example in purity, which is how you stay away from sin and practice holiness. It matters. How do you stay away? You know, I've had this conversation over and over with people who struggle with alcohol. Because I struggled with alcohol early on. And how did I overcome that? I shared this with somebody. You know, when after I got saved, I'd still have a beer now and again. But there was just something in my spirit that was like, you know what, you shouldn't do that. And I don't know if it was just because he was preparing me for ministry or what the deal was. All I know is in my spirit, I knew I shouldn't be doing that. And I'm not saying this because please don't get me wrong. If in the Spirit of God you're free to have a beer, then have a beer. Oh, pastor said I could have a beer. All I'm telling you is what God did for me. When God showed me, I read in communion. By the way, today was supposed to be communion.
Oh, sorry.
I think we had it though, didn't we?
Amen.
without the bread and without the cup. We had communion here. I was thinking that as we're coming to the altar, I'm thinking, wow, this is like the best kind of communion we could ever have. This is awesome. Lord, forgive us for forgetting the cup and the bread, but that's okay. But after, when you read in your Bible, after Jesus shared the cup and the wine, he says to his disciples, I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until I drink it with you in my Father's kingdom. And when I read that, it's like, wow. Jesus Christ, my Lord, my King, is going to abstain from alcohol until I'm with him in heaven. Well, if he can do that, so can I. And that's what helped me stop drinking. If the Spirit of God is speaking to your heart and telling you, you know, this is an area of your life that I want you to do something different, then listen to the Spirit of God. And again, please, don't get me wrong. Paul said that there's certain things he's free to do all things, and he's free not to do all things, whatever the case may be. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you. I don't need to tell, because I need to take heed to me, not take heed to you. But be an example in purity. And I'm only sharing that because it's an example. That's how I stay away from practicing drinking. I put it on him. Thank you, Jesus. You're doing this for me. I'll do this for you. I made an act of worship out of it. You know what, God? I'll worship you with abstaining from alcohol. But these are what we are. This is part of our ministry. And I've shared that with people. And I had a guy, not a couple weeks ago, I shared that with a guy who struggled with alcohol. And I said, let me tell you how I overcame it. And when I shared that with him, he's like, you know, I think I can do that. He goes, that makes perfect sense to me. Be an example in purity. How do you stay away from sin? Now, that's it. That was just part of my sin nature. If I was to drink, I would drink too much. That's just the way it is. Those who drink too much, you know what I'm talking about. And so for me, it's best to just... You know, there are families that grow up... I don't need to go there. You hear what I'm saying. Your sin nature is different than mine sometimes. Okay, how did God help you overcome your own sin nature? And if you haven't overcome it yet, then just keep praying. God will get you there. Keep reading your word, and I'll get to that in a few moments. But if God helps you overcome something, share that with others. Be an example in purity. This is how I stay pure. When the temptation comes, this is where I go. You know, the Bible tells us that there's an escape route. Every time it says, you know, we get that scripture wrong. It talks about God will not give you anything more than you can handle. But with every temptation, there's an escape. And we take that in it. Well, God won't give me anything in my life that I can't handle. We take that so far out of context. He's talking about the temptation that's in your life, not about the circumstance. Guess what? I've heard this preached one time that, and I forget who it was talking about it, was talking about, you know what? God will give us more than we can handle sometimes. Why is that? Because... No, I'm talking about circumstance. Man, my wife is fired up. She's ready to preach. But there are circumstances that happen to people that they can't handle. That's why people die. Right? But you know what? We don't need to fear death. Why? Because when we're following Jesus Christ, we have eternal life. And so it's not talking about the circumstance or the trials that we go through. It's talking about the temptations. And so when there's a temptation that comes and we feel overwhelmed, like, oh, I can't stop doing this. I've heard this time when getting involved with recovery programs, I hear people say all the time, well, you know, I'm an addict. You don't have to be. You don't have to be. And you know what? Go talk to the former addict who got delivered from that addiction and is no longer an addict. Go talk to that one. I know the secular programs out there, they want you to confess, I'm an addict, for the rest of your life. Well, stop being an addict. How do you stop being an addict? You become a believer in Jesus Christ and you follow him. And you know what? You let your life be an example to others of how you stay pure. How do I stay pure? Well, you know what? When my best friend, the person I love so much, comes around who is an addict, I choose not to fellowship with them anymore. I'm sorry, I love you to death. You're the greatest friend I've ever had, but until you put those drugs away, I can't hang out with you. You know why? Because then I'm going to do them, and then I won't be a good example of purity in Christ. Let's move on. He says, till I come, verse 13, give attention to reading, to exhortation, and to doctrine. What he's saying is that if you look up the word reading, what it really means is knowing the word. Give attention to knowing the word. Give attention to encouraging others to know and obey the word. And give attention to the teachings of the word. That's what he's saying there. Give attention. Again, take heed to your ministry. Part of your ministry is knowing what the Bible says. Encouraging others in what the Bible says. And teaching what the Bible says. That's part of your ministry. That's part of my ministry. When people say, oh, you know, this is the way life is, you say, well, what's the Bible say about that? Let's see. And you open it up and you find out. And again, let's not beat people over the head with the Bible. Let's encourage them in the Bible. Okay? There's a difference when it comes to ministering to others and being an example to others. There's a difference between beating them over the head with the Bible or encouraging them in the Bible. You know what? People will receive an encourager more than they will a condemner. And usually that's what, you know, the church through the years has gone up and down in this. There are times where it's like, oh, you sinners, don't you know what the Bible says? This is what it says. You're telling them truth, but there's not a whole lot of love in there. The Bible says to speak the truth in love. Well, how do you speak the truth in love? You encourage people with the truth. You know what? I see you're struggling in this area. And God just wants me to know, this is what His Word says, and if you would listen to His Word, if you would follow His Word, you would find that you won't struggle in that area. Encourage people in the Word. Give attention. This is what we do for ourselves. This is what Paul is telling Timothy. Pay attention. Give attention to reading the Word, exhortation and doctrine, which is knowing the Word, encouraging others in the Word, and teaching the Word. That's part of your ministry, Timothy. And take the name Timothy out of there, put your name in there. That's part of your ministry. Verse 14, do not neglect the gift that is in you. Now, the gift is that which the Spirit of God has put in your heart to minister to others with. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 12, that God gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and some teachers. That's you. And that's me. Everybody say, I have a gift. You may not know what that gift is, but you have a gift. And if you would not neglect that gift, you would find yourself being a much greater minister to the lost and to each other. Pastor, I don't know how to be an apostle. The word apostle really just means somebody who goes. Go somewhere and share the gospel. That's an apostolic ministry. You know, we give these titles in these heads, and you know what? There isn't any one of those that's greater than the others. I know there are a lot of times in the Bible, the first thing is the most important thing and all of these things. But I think all of these are equally important to the kingdom of God. And so whether you're apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher, it doesn't matter. An apostle is somebody who goes out and shares the gospel. A prophet is somebody like what Gloria did this morning. You know what? I heard this from the Lord. Let me explain to you what I believe it means. An evangelist is somebody who just goes out there and seeking the lost and telling them about Jesus. A pastor is somebody who does what I'm doing right now. And a teacher is somebody, again, who does what I'm doing right now. Well, I don't know how to be a pastor or be a teacher. Do you know anything about the Word of God? If you paid attention to it, if you attended, like we mentioned earlier, if you know anything about the Word of God, teach that. If all you know is one verse, teach that. You'll be the best teacher of that one verse there ever was. Verse 15, meditate, which means ponder and practice. I love that word ponder. I use it all the time. Ponder means. You want to go back? Oh. All right, come on. Come and take this mic. I want you to preach it. Get up here. Come on. Come on. Come on. How many want to hear Karen preach it for a minute? She said, no, I'm not preaching. Pastor come out here. Come on.
As he was sharing that, you know, God calls some of us to be. So God may have called Rhonda to be a teacher and may have called Kylie to be a prophet. And Rhonda's like wishing she had Kylie's gift, and Kylie's wishing she had Danny's gift. We have to be content with the gift God gave us. God gave us all a gift. He wants us to use our gift. He gave it to us for a reason. So don't be coveting somebody else's gift. You know, you might be like, well, I don't know how to teach. Well, maybe God didn't call you to teach. You know, so that's just where I'm at.
Amen. How many want to hear more from Sister Karen at some point? Yes, yes. I've been after her for years. In fact, several years ago, I'm going to call her out. Several years ago, she had a word, and she never gave it. She said, well, I'm not quite ready. I'm not quite. Honey, I want you to dig that up because I want you to preach that. She just got put on notice. All you heard of, right? All you heard. She's got a message to preach. I'm going to keep encouraging. You encourage her. Hey, you know, I'm waiting for that word. You okay? But really what she's saying, and you know what? How do you know what the gift is that God has given you? Well, you know what? The Holy Spirit is really good about inspiring. What has God inspired you to do? Do that. Well, how do I know what he's inspired me to do? You'll know. Trust me, you'll know. Do that. And you know what? If you do have a desire, well, what'd Paul say? You know, desire the best gifts, right? If you're a teacher and you desire to be a prophet, then pray about that. God, I have this desire in me. If you put this in me, then make me a prophet. He'll do what he wants to do. Where was I? Meditate, ponder, and practice on these things. On what things? On knowing the word, encouraging others to know and obey the word, and to the teaching of the word. Ponder and practice on these things. Give yourself entirely to them, that your progress may be evident to all. Are you making progress in your life? I remember as a young Christian, people would say, wow, you're growing fast. How could I help? Half the people here that are here today were praying for me back then, and they're still praying for me today. How could I not grow fast? It's evident when you're growing in the Lord. People can see it. I am so blessed that I can look around this room, and it doesn't matter who you are, where you're at in your walk with God. I am so blessed because I can see it's evident in your life that you're making progress. Hallelujah. You're making progress. That's an awesome thing. But meditate. How do you make progress? You meditate, which means you think about it. You ponder the word of God, and you practice the word of God. And you give yourself entirely to the word of God. If you haven't given yourself entirely to the word of God, you're going to miss something. Anybody want to miss something? Praise God, no hands went up. I want it all. Oh, hallelujah. The only place we're allowed to what? Be greedy? Ooh, hallelujah. Be greedy in God. Louis, he tells me all the time, do you know why I come to church? I don't want to miss anything. Brother Dave would say that. He used to tell me that too. I don't want to miss anything. That's why I come. Well, those who didn't come this morning, you missed something.
I missed a lot.
Woo! Go ahead, Sarah.
All right. God's been speaking to me about the word ponder, so it's funny you brought that up. I've been starting at the center for Christmas of coming up with something to put inside cards. And God already told me what he wanted me to put in the card for next year. And awesome. That's nice to have it this far ahead. But the word was ponder. I kept thinking about Mary and how all these things she pondered in her heart. Mm. And so I looked it up to find out what ponder really means. And it says, think about something carefully, especially before making a decision or reaching a conclusion. So I'm like, how good that was for the center, for our girls.
Amen.
Because they are pondering what to do with unplanned pregnancies. Mm. You know, and so I put that all in there. So I just thought it was funny you were doing ponder, because that has been on my heart since Christmas of last year.
Amen. Yeah. Give careful attention to. Think about it. The word ponder, in context of what this particular verse talks about, not only thinking about it, but also practicing the things that you learn, the things that you have read, the things that you come to know in Christ. This is your ministry. This is my ministry. You know, I'm reading a book right now about changing the, I forget the title of the book, but it talks about, the recalibration, recalibrating your church. And it talks about every church has a culture of its own. Are you aware of that? Yeah. Every church has a culture of its own. In other words, the church does what it does, and it's unique to that particular church. And when you walk into that church, that's how it's done. Okay? And thinking about the culture of Geneva Assembly of God, is it a culture that is inviting to everybody who should walk through the door? Is it a culture that displays love? Is it a culture that is an example of Jesus Christ to the lost and to one another? And I'm thinking about those things. And you know, carefully thinking about, pondering. It's important. And the thing about this church, the culture that I would desire of this church, and I believe it's what God desires for this church, is that this church has a culture of loving. And this church has a culture of lifting up Jesus Christ. And this church has a culture of growing in wisdom and knowledge of the Lord, that we don't just, you know, stay where we're at because we're comfortable there, but we're continually striving forward, pressing toward the mark. Last verse, take heed to yourself and to the doctrine, which is the teachings of the word, continuing in them. For in doing this, you will save both yourself and those who hear you. Listen to that. Take heed to, wow, look at that rain. Woo, it's coming down out there, church. I almost sang it. I had a song, I pulled it out. I almost sang it, Let It Rain. It says, wow. Shower of blessings. We're blessed we're in here and not outside in that shower. It's coming down hard. Take heed to yourself. Not what your neighbor's doing. Not what the person down the street's doing. Not what your coworker's doing. Take heed to yourself. And do these things. Take heed to yourself and to the doctrine, which is the teachings of the word. Take heed to what the Bible says. Apply it to yourself. Live it. Walk it. Talk it. Be an example. Why? Because it saves you, and it also saves the person you're next to, the person down the street. When we take heed to ourselves and we make sure that we are living the way that God has called us to live, that we are saying the things that God has called us to say, and we are doing the things that God has called us to do. Let's back up there. Our word, our conduct, our love, how we relate to God in spirit, how we walk out our faith, and how we stay pure, it all matters. When we take heed to ourselves, guess what? Other people notice and other people get saved, because you know why? How many have ever experienced that person that's like, wow, I want to be like that person? Well, guess what? When we take heed to ourselves and we are doing what God has called us to do, and we are fulfilling our ministry, again, everybody say, I have a ministry. When we are fulfilling that, others will be like, you know what? I want some of that. And not only do we get saved, but so do they. Please stand with me this morning. Hallelujah. Amen. Not just Sunday, every day. You know, if we don't live out our lives for Christ every day, why do we even come here on Sunday? Well, you know what? I would encourage you to come back on Sunday. If you're not living out your life every day for Christ, then please come back on Sunday and repent of what you did last week. And try again. Guess what? We'll still love you. Here's something that we all could get in our minds. And here's a challenge to the church. For the next rest of your life, never point a finger at somebody. Never point a finger at somebody. Doesn't matter who they are, what they've done. Do not point a finger at them. But minister to them. What was that?
Like you're doing now.
Yeah, like I'm doing now. Don't do this. Because the moment that you point a finger at somebody, you've judged them. You've condemned them. You've told them that, you know what, you're not as good as me. You put yourself above them. You know what why Satan got kicked out of heaven? Because he exalted himself above God. If you exalt yourself above anybody else, guess what? You're in trouble. We're supposed to be Christ-like. My wife's still preaching. Hallelujah. Christ was no respecter of persons. He did not point the finger at anybody. You know who he condemned? Was the religious who were pointing their fingers. Let's not be that. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. First, God, I thank you for the gift that you have put within me. And I pray for each one here, God, that the gift that you have put in each and every one of us, that we would take heed to it. That we would become ministers of your love. Lord, that gift would well up inside of us and it would be poured out of us, God, and that we would be able to minister through that gift to those around us, to believers and to non-believers. Lord, help us to take heed to ourselves, to make sure that we are good examples in word and conduct and love and spirit and faith and in purity. Lord, we need your help to do that because we cannot do that on our own. And so God, as powerful as your presence was here this morning, I pray that it continues even as we conclude this service, that your presence in our lives would be so powerful that we would be inspired to do what you have called us to do. Lord, let us look at ourselves today. Let us recognize the ministry that you have put in us and let us take heed to it, knowing that it saves not only our lives, but the others as well. I pray a blessing on each one here this morning, a blessing of your love, a blessing of your power, and a blessing, Lord God, of your ministry here on this earth as you pour it out through us, your vessels. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless.